The reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord unto Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And the Lord got up and went, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Evening. Can you hear me? There we go. Right. Hello, everyone. So thanks, Christine, for reading that. It was great. So as most of you know, I'm Ali. I'm the music and worship minister here. So I'm kind of more comfortable hiding behind a keyboard over here. But for some reason tonight, I'm up here. So when Richard said to me, "Hey, do you fancy preaching next term?" I went, "All right then." And then I said, "Oh, what's the topic?" And he went, "Listening." And I went, "Oh no, I'm the chatterbox. Why are you giving me the sermon about listening?" And I don't think it wasn't necessarily, "Oh, I'll give that one to Ali." It was the way the It was the way the dates went. So I really don't feel that equipped to be stood up here speaking to you guys about listening. But so this has been a real big journey for me in my sort of exploration about this, and I just wanted to share a bit about that with you, and hopefully we'll have a go at some stuff together and see where we get to. So I am typically quite a loud, gobby person. I can say that because I'm saying it about myself. I've got that typical middle child syndrome. So I've got two older brothers, so I had to make a lot of noise to be heard, and I've got two younger sisters, and they were very sweet, so again, I had to make a lot of noise to be heard. And I play the trumpet, so that's probably one of the loudest instruments there could be. Even when I do the sound desk, right, I have to set my singing volume down a couple more decibels in comparison with some of the other singers on the worship team, because I naturally sing a bit louder. It's a bit, I'm sort of strangely proud / embarrassed about that. So, and then, anyone remember the Chubby Bunnies game? Chubby Bunnies, classic youth group game. So, you bag of marshmallows, put marshmallow in your mouth. Can you say Chubby Bunnies? Reigning champion in my youth group. So, I've got a big mouth. I like to be noisy, but I'm not really that great a listener. I was talking to Jeff, my husband, about this. No, I was the one doing the talking, and he was the one doing the listening. Sort of how it works with us. And I was like, I'm really not that good a natural listener, am I? So I don't know, are you guys good listeners? Maybe just chat with the person around next to you. Would you say that you're a good listener, or would your other half or your best mate say that you're a good listener? What do you reckon? If you haven't already told the person next to you because you're so busy listening, maybe switch over. So the second person in that relationship was the quiet one. I get that. Yeah, so I don't think anyone that is going to say, yeah, I'm a great listener. So who are the people that are definitely not good listeners? They're more likely to raise their hands. Okay, yeah. So I'm with you guys here. So for me, listening, when I think about listening, it's more about like, oh, listening to music, listening to sounds that there are. I love sort of like sound mixing a worship band and those sorts of things. And like, can I hear the guitar and can I hear all those vocals and that sort of thing? And apologies for when we don't get it right, but I really enjoy that side of listening, that sort of, oh, can I create something that sounds nice, I think, out of this thing. And yeah, when you're in school and you have like listening exams and music, it's like, oh, what can you hear? Can you hear this oboe here or this French horn here or this guitarist here or whatever it is? So it's more about listening to music. So how about we take a step in and we think about listening to others and we think about listening in our relationships. So Kate and Erin were chatting last week and this morning about our relationships. And I wonder if you might just, yeah, you just had a thought about whether you're a listener in a relationship or whether you're maybe the chatterbox, a bit more like me. So, yeah, I just wonder where you're at with that. Mobile phones, they're great, aren't they? Maybe not. Come back next week, we're going to talk about technology. If you get a phone call on your mobile phone these days, it says, oh, Charles is calling me. I'll pick that up. Okay, thank you very much. Whereas if you think, let's just rewind a few years, the phone would ring and you wouldn't know who it was going to be. It didn't tell you. And you'd be like, hello? Or did you do that thing where you answered the phone with your phone number? So they knew 8686-1352. There we go. And then it's like, you've got to work out from the voice on the other end of the phone. Hopefully people were courteous and said, hi, it's Ali, or whoever it was. I actually had this a few weeks ago. I rang someone at church to do some worship team stuff, and I thought I was talking. I think I thought I was talking to Mark Johnson, and actually I was talking to Sam Johnson. Embarrassing. And literally, I went off for about 30 seconds and didn't realise. And then, was it that way around? I think so, yeah. And Sam went, it's me, it's not my dad. I went, oh, okay. So we don't necessarily always instantly recognise voices anymore, do we? Because we've got lazy, we've got things that tell us who it is talking to us or texting us or whatever. And you get the awkward thing when you get a text message from someone and you don't know what the number is and you're like, who's this? Kind of thing. But we don't always recognise voices anymore. And if that is just in the relationships and the friendships, and that's people that are going to ring us, they're going to be quite close, right? What about listening to God? So in this passage that we've heard read, Samuel did not recognize God's voice. He thought it was Eli. He was up and down all night going, yeah, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And it was like, hello, it's God. Hello. He didn't realize that it was God. And I wonder, that sort of poses a question, doesn't it? If God was calling us, would we recognize it? Would we recognize his voice? Are we familiar with his tone of voice and his accent, maybe, or whatever it is that we might call it? So in relationships, we talk a bit to the person and we listen to the person and they talk back to us. And it's got to be a bit of a to and fro kind of thing. And you get that with audible conversations. And then you have those relationships where you can read their body language because you know them that well. And you can tell, you could sit in a meeting and know what they're thinking across the room. Or you might see a flicker of something across them. Or with your families, maybe you know what it is. So one of my key relationships in my life at the moment is with my lovely, gorgeous 21-month-year-old son, Harry. Now, Harry is totally adorable and a pain in the backside. He cannot talk yet. He's sort of learning a few words. We've got most animal noises down to a T. We've got cheese that's developed. we had an argument earlier about whether he wanted the Baby Bell cheese or not. He can now tell me, excuse me, this is a bit gross, he can now tell me that he's got a poo in his nappy. That's kind of helpful. it's like good communication there. So, but mainly, we're really struggling because he's in that not yet terrible twos tantrum phase because he can't communicate with me. He can't tell me what he wants. He doesn't have the language, the vocabulary. And so I am having to do my best to understand from his body language and sort of offering him different things to try and work out what it is and see how he is. And I'm trying to, you know, I can't say, oh, have you had a nice day, Harry? Because he doesn't know what that is. I just know if he's come home from nursery crying or if he's come home happy. So I have to read his body language. And it's the same with God. We have to be in a relationship, an active relationship with him, so we might know how he might communicate with us. So we've got to be in relationship to hear the person. That very nature of being in relationship means that hopefully we're communicating with them. So I wonder, does that make you think, oh, how's my relationship with God? Maybe just stop and take stock for a minute and think, yeah, I'd know if God was speaking to me. I feel like I have a good general chit-chat with God. I feel like I hear from him. Or, oh my goodness me, I wouldn't even know where to start with that. There's some pens and paper on your tables. Mainly, you might want to write some stuff down. You might want to write down stuff that you hear me say or things that you hear from God later, because we're going to do some practical. Or you might be someone that listens better when you're doodling. So doodle away, as long as it's like healthy doodling, that's all good. But I know people communicate in different ways, don't they? And you communicate with God in different ways. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you're familiar with his audible voice. It might be, I know lots of people say they go up to like mountaintops or to beaches, and where are the places that you'd seek God? Or I know people that have literally bought armchairs to sit in specific places in their house for that to be their chair for their time with God. For me, it's sitting at the piano. So I have this non-stop inner monologue in my head. Like right now, I'm thinking about how this is all going and the fact there's a purple light over there and the fact that the projector's shining in my eyes and the fact that it's 7:08. So I have this constant thing in my head. Okay, I'm one of those. And does anyone else have that? And there's a few nods around the room, and then there's also a few really blank faces. Being totally stereotypical, it tends to be more women that have the inner monologue and more men that don't. But I know that is a stereotype, so I apologise. So for me, it's a case of how do I calm down the inner monologue and how do I sort of numb that so I can hear maybe from God. So for me, the place that I find that easiest is sitting at the piano. So I might be playing a worship song or I might be just like playing chord progressions and that just helps me to sort of slow down the pace. I'm probably speaking too fast right now. I'm sorry if that's the case. So you've all got your place where you go or your thing that you do or that sort of behavioural pattern that you think might help you focus. Maybe if we're talking about quiet times here. Does that make sense? Think, yeah, good. So you know what I'm talking about. So just think, like how often are we doing that? How often are we actually purposefully trying to say, okay, I'm going to go and spend some time with God? Because I definitely believe that God can speak to us on the fly, on the move, in amongst the chaos of busy life. But actually, it would be a lot easier if we sought him, if we looked for him, if we sat down and said, right, God, I'm focused now. I'm focused on you. So I wonder, maybe feel free to write something down or maybe chat with the person next to you. I'm just going to give you like 30 seconds. If there's stunned silence, that's fine. But just 30 seconds to think. Take stock. How's your relationship with God? Like to even begin to think about how we might hear from him. Okay, how are we doing? Great, that's really good. We might come back to a bit of that later, and obviously you can always carry these conversations on. That's the beauty of church community, isn't it? So I don't want you to think that I'm going to stand up here and give you some magic recipe, and if you do X, Y, Z in that certain place at that certain time of the day, dressed in this particular outfit, God is going to speak to you. I haven't got that, I'm afraid. But I want to encourage you. I think there's an element of fear that comes with this topic. Sometimes we're like, oh my goodness, we're going to ask God to speak to us. What might happen? And I don't think this needs to be a scary thing. I think this needs to be quite a fun, exciting thing. And I really get a sense that God wants to just encourage us a little bit more into a bit more of it. So I don't know whether you feel like listening to God is something you're quite accomplished at, or if you're like a total novice at. But I think he wants to encourage us. I think he wants to encourage us as a whole church, as a community, to have a go a bit more, to just push in a little bit more. I don't think he wants to make us feel guilty for not doing it as much as maybe we should have done, maybe if we feel that. I don't think that he wants to tell us off. I think, genuinely think, that God is coming to us tonight with a really warm father's heart, saying, come and chat to me. And actually, more importantly, listen to me, because I've got things to say to you. It's a good encouragement time. So I've got 4 P's. So even if you just go home remembering like 2 of these words, and that helps you a little bit get to sort of hear from God a little bit more in the coming weeks, that's great. So my first P, posture. I wonder, do we generally come with a posture of openness, a posture of expectancy? Are we prepared? Are we expecting? Are we excited to hear from God? Do we expect him to speak? I wonder, there's a lot of I wonders tonight, I apologise for that. I wonder why you come to church. Is it the great coffee? Is it the something to do on a Sunday night when you could be at home watching the telly instead? Is it to catch up with your mates? Is it to sing brilliant worship songs and to sort of get a good community check-in with your Christian friends? Is it the teaching? Maybe someone else dragged you along. I don't know. Last summer, Richard did a life group leaders questionnaire. Is that right? Yeah, questionnaire with the life group leaders. We were thinking about why people go to their small groups. And there were sort of 4 categories that came out. There was life groups that focus on community or teaching or mission or presence, as in the presence of God. Do we go to our life groups expecting and ready to spend time in the presence of God? Is that what we're there for? Is that our purpose for that place? And actually, out of all those 4 categories, the presence one came back as the smallest. Now, I've got to confess, as the worship minister here, that stung a little bit. It's great. I love church. I love hanging out with my mates at church. I moved here to Reigate to work at the church, so about 99% of my friends in Reigate are from church. Yeah, sad, isn't it? But do we actually, every time we meet together as Christians, do we expect the presence of God in the room with us? Do we expect to meet with him, to engage with him, to hear from him, for something to change? Do we come prepared for his presence? Do we have a posture of openness and expectancy to receive from him? I don't really want to be the lead singer in some singing community group thing. That's not really what I want to do. I want to be able to enable you guys to worship God, maybe that looks like music a lot of the time, but to worship him, to bring your lives to him, because that's what he calls us to do, because he is worthy of our praise and our worship. And that shouldn't just be on a Sunday night in this room. That should be 24 hours a day, every single day of the week, whatever we're doing, whoever we're with, wherever we are, that idea of there being whole life worship. But if we're not even aware of God's presence with us in all those times, we're probably not going to also be worshipping him through what we're doing. So do we come with a posture of expectancy? So I'm not telling anyone off, this is posture, okay? So first word, how can I correct my posture? How can I posture myself? How can I be open? How can I be expectant? How can I come prepared every single day, not just to church, but every single day when you wake up? God, I'm prepared to meet with you today. God, I want to have a posture of openness to what you want to do today. And then wait. We're doing this simplify subject, this simplify theme. And going back to the techie in my brain, so you have lots of inputs in a sound desk, and there's lots of different noises. And if I were to simplify those and maybe pull some of the inputs that didn't really bring anything out, that might mainstream things a bit more. Have you ever heard the phrase, have you ever said the phrase, I'm sure you have, I can't even hear myself think? There's so much noise around you. It might be physical noise. It might be others' opinions on your life. It might be, there's just so much coming in from the world around us, isn't there? There's so much coming in. And sometimes I just can't even hear myself think. And sometimes that's really important, because sometimes I can't hear God speak because I can't even hear myself think. So how can we simplify the inputs that are coming in from around and outside, like the world around us, so that we might be prepared and might be ready to hear God? Now, we're going to talk about that a bit more next week when Richard and Martin chat about technology, is one of those things. But how can we simplify the noise around us? How can we minimize that a little bit more so we can hear ourselves think and we can hear God speak? We don't want to be like Samuel, who goes, oh yeah, that was Eli. No, it wasn't. It was God. We don't want to miss it. I'm so grateful. I'm so glad that God went, Samuel, Samuel, again, again, and again. He wants our attention. He wants our attention. He's not going to give up. But are we ready? So let's come with this posture of expectancy. Let's set the stage for God to speak. We might need to simplify our inputs. We might need to take some more time for solitude with God. We need to quieten the outer noise and your own inner monologue, in my case, certainly. We might want to simplify our relationships, all these things that we've been talking about, so we can hear God a bit more in our lives, so he increases, not just so that there is less, but so he increases, so what he wants for his will for our lives, for his will for the kingdom increases. Simplifying this stuff is all helping to create that posture of expectancy. So let's expect God to speak to us, and let's turn the noise of the world down and turn him up. So that leads me on to my next piece. We've had posture, and now we've got purpose. I know that my life is better with God in it. I'm absolutely sure of it. I've had a bit of my life without God in it, and I look back and I go, that was not good. I know that my life is better with him in it. I want to serve him. He went through death and resurrection, and he offers me life. He offers me full life. He offers me great life. And grace and truth and love. We were singing earlier in one of the songs, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. That is how I feel. I choose to live my life with God in it because I know that without him it's not as good. And even when it's difficult, I choose to trust him. I need to trust in God, trust that he loves me, trust that he cares for me, trust in the big stuff and in the little stuff, in the rough times as well as the smooth. So we need to seek God's will for us to be trusting in him. It's one thing saying, oh yeah, I trust in God, and then just being like, yeah, but I'm not going to listen to him. Like, if we're saying that we trust him, we need to make time to actually hear what he's got for us, don't you think? So let's seek his will first. We need to be watching, seeking for God, seeking first the kingdom, seeking first his will. We say it a lot. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can play a part in that. We can make that easier. We can advance that by being prepared to listen to what he's got for us. When I think about my personal prayer life and how that has grown over the years, I'd like to think that it has grown in the amount that I pray. But I'd also like to think that the balance of it has shifted. I think when I was younger, and, you know, now as well, sometimes, you go, right, God, I'm really going to try and pray hard for this, you know, for this next phase. You know, you go, new year, new me, all these sort of new commitments to things. I'm going to pray really hard. And I would find when I was younger that I would just end up spending hours listing prayer requests to God. Like good stuff, like praying for all my friends, all my family, all the people around me, praying for the world, all this good stuff. But my goodness, I would not shut up. Like God must have been sat there like, yep. Are you going to let me talk? Are you going to let me say anything? This relationship is a two-way thing. Seek his will first. So, yeah, sometimes this thing about rebalancing. Pete Gregg came recently, didn't he, and was talking to us about pray, pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. And the pause thing, the stop and the wait thing, and the yield or the yes thing. We can't say yes to something we don't know what we're saying yes to if we haven't heard it. If we haven't sought what he wants for us, we can't say yes. We can't, like, that would be a bit blind, maybe a bit silly. And I mean, there is something in stepping out and saying, I say yes to you, God, whatever that is. But, well, why not take some time and find out what it is that he's asking of us first, both personally and as a community? So I think we should ask God for his will, not just list to him our hopes and our dreams and, hey, God, is it okay if I do this thing? Oh, he said, yes, great, off I go and do my thing, and I put him back in his box and it's all about my agenda. Why don't we seek his agenda? Why don't we seek his will for our lives and for our community? Let's be more open to what he wants to say. So that purpose is God's will, not ours. Purpose, God's will, not ours. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive, those sort of what I want and what he wants. They're not necessarily different. It might be pot luck that I ask God for the thing that he really wants me to do. But wouldn't it be easier if I just asked him first? And instead of going, hey, God, is it okay if I do this? I say, God, what would you like me to do? So don't go loaded with your agenda all the time. Obviously, we do sometimes, but not all the time. Let's listen, make space and wait. So we come to him open with that posture and ready with that purpose of listening to him. We want to seek him, his kingdom, his ways, his truth, and his life. So posture, purpose. My third P is people. So I'm sure a lot of you came in and went, oh no, what have they done with the chairs again tonight? What have they made us do? They're going to make us talk to each other. We don't like that. But actually, you guys have done very well so far tonight, may I say. Chatting to people, there haven't been any teacher awkward talk amongst yourself silences yet. But people, don't be selfish with your ears. Don't be selfish with your ears. God might want to speak to you for someone else. He might want to speak to you for another individual or for another group of people or for the community that we're a part of. Don't be selfish with your ears. Listen for others as well. Sometimes I think that's a little bit less scary. Sometimes, like saying, okay, what, God, what do you want to do with my life? It's almost a bit like, oh my gosh, then I'm going to hear it and he's going to know I've heard it and I can't avoid it. What am I going to do then? Whereas if I say, what would you like for my friend Charles, sorry, I keep picking on you, Charles, and you're just right there. It's easier for me, actually, to listen to God sometimes and maybe go and speak to Charles about that than it is to bring your own thing. But don't forget that we're in a community. He calls us to church. He calls us to walk in relationship with others. So don't be selfish with your ears. So that's part one of people. And then part two of people is use other people's ears to help you figure out what you've heard. So this idea of discernment. Now, sometimes we've had a couple of examples of this in the last term, haven't we, where someone has come with a message in tongues and then someone else has come and translated it. And that is such a clear example of people listening to God and saying what he has said and putting that on their heart. And that without the translation, that wouldn't necessarily make sense. But often God wants, you know, he's got specific words for people, but it needs someone else to sort of explain something. Maybe there's a metaphor, there's an idea that there might be someone that feels a way, and we need someone else to explain what that might mean, or maybe they know the person that that's for, or maybe you are the person that that's for. So small groups, we talked about relationships last week, small groups, trusting relationships, accountability, all that stuff. Ask the people that you trust to pray for you, or say, oh, I think God might be saying this to me, but I don't know. Like, can you pray with me about that? My personal story. So Richard said to me when we were chatting about this, he's like, oh, share some more personal stories about yourself. So if I want to give you an example without giving you the example, okay? Because it's personal. I don't want to share the real personal thing. So a few years ago at church, we cleared all the chairs in the church, and Hazel, our old curate, set up a big spiral of stones in the church as a prayer labyrinth. And she encouraged us all to go and pray and listen to God. And I got to confess, this was not my cup of tea, right? And I was a life group leader at the time, and we'd been asked to go with our life group. So off I go on my nice summer's evening that I could be hanging out with my friends. And I did that thing where I say, okay, God, I'm here. What do you want to say? Without really meaning it, without really expecting it. And a voice came. So for me, this I would say is probably the only time I've ever heard an actual audible voice that I would say was, for me, the audible voice of God. It wasn't in my voice or someone else's voice. I knew. I felt like it was a specific thing in God's voice. Now, I'm not going to tell you what that was. That doesn't matter. That's not personal. But I was like, whoa, what just happened? And I walked down the road, and as soon as we were out of earshot of everyone else, I turned to Jeff and I was like, oh my goodness me, just heard this thing. And I saw a couple of like other trusted people out at the time and sort of spoke to them about it. And yeah, that was really helpful. And then even in preparing for this, I spoke to someone else about that thing that happened a few years ago. And they heard it differently from what I'd heard, even though I used the exact same words that I heard God say to me, and when I told them, as when I told the other people, they heard a different interpretation of what it meant. They heard a different emphasis on what it meant. And I honestly, I'm working through what that is, but I'm so glad that I confided in that person and said, I think God said this, but I don't know, because now it's given me a total different viewpoint on what that thing might be. So honestly, discerning with other people is so, so valuable. So, so valuable. And if you're not, you know, don't just go around telling everyone, you know, God said this to me all the time kind of thing. Well, I mean, if you want to, go for it. But find people that you trust. Find people that you really, really trust. You know, whether it be people in your life group, or if you've got a prayer triplet, or you know, come and speak to a member of the clergy here or something like that. Find someone that you trust. Write it down as well. If you're like, oh, I'm not sure I'm ready to process this thing, yeah, I guess we might be talking about something being feeling quite a big thing now that God might be calling us into like maybe a move or a different job or, you know, those sorts of things. Write it down and then go back to it and write it and ask God at that time, say, God, please, will you nudge me in your timing about what this is for my life? So just a couple of tips, I'd like to say. So, yeah, I found that really helpful, discerning with people, discern with others. It's good practice. And even, I don't know if you guys are doing Discovery Bible studies in your life groups, we find that, I'm looking at you guys here because it's my life group, we find that different people remember different bits of the Bible. So we don't tend to do the whole one person read, one person recite everything back. We sort of, one person starts reciting back and then we all sort of chip in. And it's really interesting how different people remember different bits. But I think that's true. Like, when God speaks, different people pick things up in different ways. So, like, teamwork is quite a good thing sometimes. So hearing and listening are different things. Try and know that you've heard something. Make time for God to hear it. And then maybe act. Maybe listening takes a bit more of an active response. So we've done posture and purpose and people. And my last P that I want to share with you guys is practice. Practice. We just have to get on with it. We just have to have a go. There's no point in being scared about this, because what happens? We say, God, please speak to me. And we don't get anything. We haven't lost anything. It might be a voice. It might be that you happen to see a physical sign at the time that you're asking. It might be an inkling. It might be that God sort of diverts your train of thought a little bit into something else. It doesn't always have to be the extraordinary. Sometimes it can be in the ordinary, or a lot it can be the ordinary. God speaks to us every single day in the ordinary. We look outside and there's his beautiful world. That's God saying, hey, I'm here. The people around us, what a gift that we've got this community. God speaks to us in the normal things every day. Find the thing that you know helps you to tune into him. So for me, the piano, maybe your special place. But we've got to listen to him. And I really think we need to practice doing this daily. God says to us, we talk about daily bread in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. I am sure that he has got things for us every single day, whether it be the parking space in Morrison's that we couldn't find, or whether it be a really big life-altering thing, or anything in between. I am sure God is a God of, he's our Father, he's a relationship. And that's a two-way thing. And he wants to be in a living relationship with us. So if we really want to do that every day, let's practice that daily. I think no set of experiences is the same each day, is it? Sometimes we go, oh yeah, but in previous times, that's what I tried and that's what God said, or it didn't work and kind of thing. No 2 days are the same. No set of experiences are the same. We don't live in a medical experiment where we can control which thing changes and then God moves. Let's just ask him. Let's just come ready and ask him. I spent my degree doing trumpet playing stuff. My dream was to be some big world famous professional trumpet player. And I used to go out and party, and then I would be at college at 7 o'clock every morning practicing my trumpet, practicing my scales like the geek I was. And I just, I just wish that I could have the same commitment to God and hearing from him as I had for those few years when I did that. That daily practice, that daily routine, that thing that literally shaped every single day of my life. If I could do that with God, if I could listen to him and sit with him attentively every single day and seek his presence and seek his will, I think we'd see a lot more movement. Do you know what I mean? I think we'd begin to tune into him a lot more. So just a couple more things. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Think about the normal way that you might hear from God, or the way that you might sort of be attuned to his will in your life. It's not always the extraordinary. Sometimes we have this phrase at the beginning of prayer meetings and say, let's just pray as the Spirit leads us. Let's ask the Spirit to lead us and to move and pray and wait and hear what God has got to say. So I guess my challenges to you guys are, consider your inputs. Can you simplify your inputs? Practice listening to God daily, wherever you can. Think about the extraordinary and the extraordinary. Let's trust in him. If we trust him to be our God and our Father, let's listen to what he wants from us. Discern with others. Ask others for help. Don't worry if you don't hear anything. Keep asking. Keep asking God to display his will for his kingdom and what you could do to be a part of that. Seek him. Look in your Bible. Listen for his Spirit. Seek his presence. And hold on to his promises when things get rough. Sometimes we're just I can't even deal with that right now. Things are difficult. Sometimes that's a painful place. So know that he promises to be with us, and that he promises that he won't ever fail us. And know what we know, what we know, what we know, because he is good, he is faithful, and he won't let us down. So posture, purpose, people, and practice. If you want to write those things down and any other random things, please do.